blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning.
Children's Church. Turn to page number 176, please. 176.
Oh,
we're seeing this quite a bit. But this is a powerful song. If you haven't paid attention to what you were singing, I've heard of a land of joy and peace and wonderful light. There's some joy and there's some peace here, but there's not as much peace as I'd like. But it's going to be plenty of peace where I'm going. Praise the Lord. Just where I stand today, I've never known this kind of heartbreak. I've never felt this kind of pain, but you're still God. When my eyes have cried a million tears, you're still God. When my last hope has disappeared, you're still God, and I know you'll make a way somehow. You're God, and you're holding me right now. My heart can't find the answer for the reason for this trial. Lord, I know your ways are perfect, and you've been watching all the while. To me, you've proven faithful time and time again, and I'm learning, Lord, to trust you even when I don't understand. 'Cause you're still God when my eyes have cried a million tears. You're still God when my last hope has disappeared. You're still God, and I know you'll make a way somehow. You're still God, and you're holding me right now. You're still God, and I know you'll make a way somehow. You're still God, and you're holding me right now.
Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen while the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Oh, Jesus. Wonderful child. Well, Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Oh, glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. He was heralded by the angels, born in a lowly manger. The Virgin Mary was his mother, and Joseph was his earthly father. Three wise men came from afar. They were guided by a shining star to see King Jesus where he lay in a manger filled with hay. Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, oh, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Oh, glory, glory, glory. Herald by the angels, born in a lowly manger. The Virgin Mary was his mother, and Joseph was his earthly father. Three wise men came from afar. They were guided by a shining star to see King Jesus where he lay in a manger with hay. Oh, and Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Oh, glory, glory, glory to the newborn King.
chapter 2. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 9. I'd like to pick up the story right here. Then we're going to touch on it a little bit more throughout. But if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, please do. I believe the Word of God, the Bible is clear that it is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so if we can stand for a president or a bride walking down an aisleway, we should be able to stand for the Almighty. Hallelujah. That's the way that I feel. Matthew 2, verse 9, if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Brother Tommy, will you ask God's blessing this morning? Amen. I do want to say, I know Brother Shane, Sister Ashley moved, but we are glad that y'all are with us this morning, and you're missed when you're not here. And I know it's a long drive to be here every service now, but we are glad that y'all are able to be with us this morning. And I really want to pick up here in verse 10 where the Bible says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced. Now, when we really get to this and understand about rejoicing, the word rejoicing literally means they were excited. Okay? Excitement is demonstrated in different ways. Brother Wayne may demonstrate his excitement different than Sister Carol. And we all agree with that. Amen. I've never seen Sister Carol start hopping in church. Amen. But I believe she's just as excited about God as Brother Wayne is, okay? And we laugh about Brother Wayne, but hey, there's nothing wrong with him getting all excited and hopping. Well, I tell you right now, Sister Allison worships, and she'll tell you that she's a loud worshiper. Well, there is nothing wrong with Sister Allison being excited and rejoicing vocally loud. Now, Sister Harriman, I believe she worships God and rejoices just as much as Sister Allison, but differently than Sister Allison. You'll see Sister Harriman back there with those little hands raised. She's worshiping. She's rejoicing, but in her own way. But the point of the matter is you must rejoice. You must worship. You must praise because the newborn king is worthy of all of our praise. And if you can't get excited about Jesus, there's something wrong, because I'll just be honest, I don't think you met him yet. Because when you meet Jesus, there's something that begins to happen on the inside of a man or woman that does not act the same way. It's more than a football game. It's more than a basketball game or a NASCAR. Or let me tell you something. There's a lot of people in here that love different things. Now, I like a majority. Amen, Sister Allison. Some of y'all like one or two things, okay? Brother Jep just gets involved in it all. That's what she always says. You can't be content with one sport. You got to do it all. Amen. And when that comes, that's just Brother Jep. But let me tell you something. There was a lot of shouting yesterday afternoon when Georgia clinched the championship. There was a lot more shouting late last night when Michigan clinched it. Amen, Bubba. I fell asleep. Sorry, son. I was there in the fourth quarter. I fell asleep. Amen. But forget the sports. There's some in here that like NASCAR. Every Sunday or Saturday night when it's running, pastor saying, Lord, touch number nine, touch number nine. Don't say five back there, brother. I know what you go for. Amen. There's nothing wrong with getting excited over those things. There's some in here that love to hunt and fish. Now, Brother Dale, he says he don't love it. He's just hungry. I don't go as much as him. And he says, you just ain't as hungry as I am, preacher. There's nothing wrong with that. There's some of you that love to shop. And thank the Lord for the internet. You don't even have to leave your house anymore. And your husbands don't like it. Because there goes more of their money. And there's a lot of you that got real excited when they extended the whole Black Week for a week. Because you don't have to stay up all night Thursday night. You can start early and finish late. There's nothing wrong with that. There's some that get excited about work. Didn't get as many. You should have started shouting over there. We was talking the other day. He said, I know you like to fish and hunt and do those things. He said, but I get excited about work. There's nothing wrong with that. And you can go on and on. There's some that get excited about school. I think there's something wrong with them, but hey, it's all right. They want to further their education. What are you trying to say, Brother Jeff? There's nothing wrong with our personal preferences as long as they don't draw us away from God. Because, Brother Tommy, work does cause people to backslide. Amen. They will want overtime on Sunday so they can be off Saturday to do their pleasure. That's wrong. Amen. That ain't meddling. That's just telling it like it is. God must be first in all of our lives. Whether it is NASCAR, Brother Chavis, we like it, but God must be before that. Brother Chavis goes to some races, and what he loves about it is NASCAR has church on the grounds. So when he camps, he's able to go to his church there, and they worship God, and then he's still able to get to the race that starts at 12, 1 o'clock, whatever it is. He's able to be in church. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? He don't mind doing it. Now, he don't miss his church every time there's a race. It's very rare. Him and his boy will go to him, or him and a friend. But let me tell you something. There's people that love to hunt. Let me tell you something. I don't believe you should be hunting when church is going on. There's some people that love to go shopping in the malls and going out with friends. There's nothing wrong with that, but it must not come before God. Hey, there's nothing wrong with watching that old leather skin, but it should never come before God. I'll tell my son, I'll tell me, I'll tell anybody that loves it, the time you're sitting there watching football at a football stadium instead of being in the house of God, there's a problem spiritually. Now, you may say, Pastor, I don't go but one a year. Now, well, let me tell you something. What is your light telling all those sinners in that stadium? Now, that, see, you say, well, you're meddling. Well, I'm telling you, Brother Tommy, it may be a personal preference, but God said, I'll have no other God. And when you put something before him, Brother Dale ain't hungry enough to be fishing instead of coming in. He needs to be hungry for God. And you've never seen him. I've never seen him hunt or fish instead of being in here. What I'm trying to say is there's a lot of things that we can get happy about, but not one of those things should exceed being rejoicing over a newborn king. Amen. Jesus should trump everything in our life. He should be the first, he should be the last, and he should be in everything in between in our life. That if I like football, there's nothing wrong with it. But let me tell you something, I'll take Jesus with me. Hey, if I like basketball or sports, let me tell you something, I can go and still be a child of God, Brother Tommy. I can go to work and still be a child of God. I can still get involved in my earthly things here, but my earthly things never take me away from God. That's where we've got to get. And when we can get to that place, we will understand. I don't believe there's anything wrong. I took Bubba one year to a football game down in Jacksonville on a Thursday night, a pregame. We went down there. We enjoyed it. We sat there. Now, there was people that were sinners, but you know what? We was sitting there showing them who we were. We acted right. We talked right. We in fact, when we got a chance, there were people in front of us. We was clapping, and I asked them, I said, "Bub, you ready to go? We got a long drive." And they said, "Where y'all from?" And I said, "We from Hinesville, Georgia." And they started laughing. They said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, why?" They said, "We from Hinesville too." I said, "Yeah, I pastor there in Hinesville at Crossroads Holy Church of God." They said, "Really?" They're part of the new church next to the Walmart there in Allenhurst. And they said, "We're at this church." And we got talking about the Lord in the middle of the football game. Do you see, church? It don't matter where you are doing what you're doing. It's the problem is when people let things of this world. Bubba was talking about, I've got friends, listen to me, I've got friends that I show myself friendly to that are not saved. That's what Bubba was saying. Hey, as children of God, you still befriend them. But you see, they are in a circle, Brother Tommy, that's out here. Then all of a sudden, my close friends that I bring into an inner circle is here. They are my godly friends. They are the friends, as Bubba was saying, that when we are overwhelmed, we can run to and we can get a hold of God and we can say, "I need your prayers." And we can join together in one mind and one accord because we are like faith, brothers and sisters. And then there is a closer circle. And then there is me and my wife, that even my children don't become in this circle because my children can never separate us and God. And then let me tell you something, Brother Tommy, then there becomes a small circle that is so personal that it's just Brother Newberry and God. And my wife will never separate me from him. The church will never separate me from him. Why? Because he's my everything. And I've got to rejoice with such great joy for who is the center of my life. That is what Brother Newberry wants us to get to. Is that if you will rejoice right, you will realize he is the center of everything you do. When you go to Walmart, you never leave him at home. He's pushing the cart with me. When I go to work, he's there at work with me. When I go fishing, he's there with me while I'm dabbling. When I'm hunting, he's there while I put the scope on a buck. Hey, when I go here or go there, what are you saying? As a child of God, I rejoice because he said, "I'll be with you always." You see, there's a reason why we need to realize it was not just another baby that was born. It was not just another king that was born. It was not just another Jew that was born. But it was the Almighty that was, hey, he was as much God as he was man. And he came because God said, "I love you enough to give my only begotten son." Christmas should set you to be in a little bit more excitement. I believe you can rejoice all year long. But these seasons, Thanksgiving makes us to be a little more thankful. We believe as children of God, we need to be thankful for everything. In everything, give thanks. All year long, I preached it this year that we don't need to give thanks, but we need to live thanks. All year long, you need to. Let me tell you something. Christmas, I thank God. It don't make him no greater of a birth right now as it did in June. But what it does, Brother Tommy, it centers us more onto the season, what we're rejoicing about. Say, hey, how many's glad for the cross? We're going to celebrate here in April about the resurrection. But guess what? I can celebrate about the resurrection even at his birth. What are you saying, church? I'm saying, let me tell you, it don't matter where you're at, what time of the year, we need to recognize who the newborn king is. You say, I don't know why you're so excited this morning. I can't help but get excited when I'm talking about my king. He's my king. Brother Shane, when he was up here speaking one night, he had a little thing said. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And it went on and on. And at the end it said, and he is my king. I wish that you could make him your king this morning. If he's not yet the king of your life and the prince of your life and the rose of Sharon of your life and the bright morning star of your life, I pray before you leave here, you'll realize I need him this morning. We need him. We need to rejoice. The shepherds, the Bible says, after they came and the shepherds returned, Brother Tommy, they went back to their flock. They couldn't stay there with Mary and Joseph 24/7. They had a flock. You will not stay in church 24/7. You will return to your homes when we leave here. But what did they do when they returned? The Bible says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What are you saying? I wonder how many of your children or my children are visitors that come into my house feel the presence of the Almighty in my home. You should have him not just here, but at your house. Amen. It's already been mentioned this morning, we are living in a time that it's not like it was in the 80s. It's not like it was really in the 50s. It wasn't like it was when some of y'all was born. But let me tell you something. There's one thing that has not changed. That's him. Over 2,000 years ago when this king was born, when this young child was born, when this miracle was given, let me tell you something. He was great then. He was almighty then. Let me tell you something. In 2022, he's still great. He's still mighty. And he's altogether lovely. I wish we could understand just who we serve this morning. Whew. Jesus said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written down. If you're saved, there is no other way that you can get your name written down except through the newborn king. Amen. I shared with some the other day, a man was talking to me, and he was giving Brother Jonathan, teasing him. He's a Christian, and he loves God. He's a Sunday school teacher. And he goes to a Baptist church, and he likes to pick on us Pentecostals because we are Pentecostal. We believe in the fullness. We believe in all this worship and shouting and all this. And I don't judge any denomination. Much given, much is required, the Bible teaches us. And I said, well, there's one thing about it there, Brother Ray. And he said, what's that, Brother Jep? And I said, there's not Baptists can get you saved. Neither can Pentecost get you saved. Neither can Presbyterian get you saved. A title of your denomination does not save you. He started to smile. I said, but there is only but one way, and his name is Jesus. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I said, now, just because I like my gifts, Don't knock me and my folks because we want to open our gifts early. He said, just leave mine under the tree. I'll get them when I get to heaven. I thank God that on the day of Pentecost, Jesus said, I got to go away, that another will come. I'm glad for the Holy Ghost. I'm glad to be endued with power from on high. There's reasons we need to rejoice. And I'm so thankful to know that I'm Pentecost, and I ain't got to say praise the Lord. But I can say hallelujah to the best of my ability. I can clap my hands. Hey, I can raise my voice. I can shout with triumph this morning. And you say, well, I don't like to do that. Well, I like to do what the Bible says. And the Bible tells Christians that's what you're supposed to do. Woo, that's good preaching right there. Let's go on. Verse 11, the Bible says that they fell down and worshiped. You see, wise men, these were the wise men that were coming. These were not the shepherds. These were the wise men. And if you figure it out, this was not when Jesus was in the manger because they said he came into the house. This was a couple years later that we understand that they came to bring their thing. And he, as they enter into the house, they fell down and worshiped this king. Understand now, Brother Wayne, I said one thing we've got to really look at as wise men worshiped him then. Wise men and women still worship him today. Amen. If you can't worship him, there's a lot of people out there that think they're smart. They ain't got a bit of wisdom if they're not worshiping him. They're not too wise. Because if you can't glorify him, that means he's not your king. And if he's not your king, you are going to hell. You say, that's pretty blunt. I don't know how ever to say it. Brother John said it tonight. You will live forever. He said it this morning. Where are you going to live? Because this old body's going back to the dust of the earth. And when this old body goes back to the dust of the earth, the believers, the Bible says, they shall be present with him. The believers, what does it say about the death of the saints in God's sight? Precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. Now, you may think death is bad. Let me tell you something about death. Death is just taking one step from here into glory for a child of God. If you're not saved, if you know the truth and you're not living it, I would be scared. Woo! You say, now you're judging. No, I ain't judging. Let me tell you something. He's coming back. There's going to be a lot of those that think, well, I know what he is. No one. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. When he comes to call your name, what you are is what you are that day. Well, I got saved when I was 12. I know I ain't supposed to be doing this stuff. Well, no, no, no. What you are when your death comes. To when you stand before him, that's what he sees. That's right. And if you're not worshiping him, you're not praising him, you're not living for him, he does not see you. He don't know you. See, I know there's some denominations that think, I've heard this all my life. Well, I prayed Johnny through when he was 12. I know he died a life that was not pleasing to God, but he was prayed through at 12. No, what Johnny did at 12 was 12. What I did yesterday was yesterday. What am I doing today? When he comes back, that's what I've got to give an account for. And now I'll be judged, the Bible says, according to my works. But I'm going to be accepted for who I am. Woo, that just got real, didn't it? If I'm saved, I'm going to be accepted for who I am. When he looks at you the day you take your last breath, if he sees sin, he sees nothing, he don't see the blood, you can't get in. Without the blood. Brother Tommy, I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of people leaving bloody footprints to hell because they've walked through his blood instead of accepted his blood. The blood can't be here. The blood has to be here. Amen. There is a bloodline. To come to Jesus Christ,
You must have the blood applied to your life. There's too many that sit in the pews. There's too many that walk through the blood to come up here and go through the motions, and they have not changed their life. They go back out. They still cuss. They still listen to things that ain't godly. They still dress immodest. They still do all these things that God said in His Word, thou shalt not do. When Jesus said, come out from among them, He's telling the children of God, there will be a difference in your life compared to the sinners. Too many want to say, all I've got to do is say it, and I'm okay. No, I believe you got to live it. Woo! You say, Brother Jeff, why are you preaching like this? I'm preaching like this because God is looking for somebody to realize He was not just a baby. He was not just a king or a Jew, but He is the King. He is altogether lovely, and we must live for Him for who He is this morning. Brother Tommy, Sister Carol, come. Are you worshiping Him for who He is? I want to close with this. One day, you will worship Him for who He is. Whether you do it now or you wait till then. Because let me tell you something. I don't want to be made to worship Him then. The devil's going to be made to worship Him then. Philippians says this, wherefore God also hath exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus everybody say every knee should bow of things in heaven. They're going to worship Him. They know who He is. Things on the earth, the children of God are already worshiping Him. But those that reject Him, they're going to worship Him then. Hey, and the things in earth and the things under. What's under earth? Hell, right? We know hell is there. That means every devil. Brother Tommy, Satan himself, he will not like it. You hear me right now. Devil, you watch this. You will come before the Almighty, and you will get on a knee, and devil, you will say, you are Lord of everything. Woo, church, if the devil's going to be made to do it, and let me tell you something, I don't want to be like the devil. I want to choose to kneel down and say, you are Lord of everything. I give my all to you because you are my God, and beside you there is no other. I say this morning, let the church of the living God say amen. I say, let's say hallelujah. He is God. He is my God. And beside Him there is no other. There ain't one thing worth missing heaven over. The wise men realized it, and they worshiped Him. The shepherds came, and they worshiped Him. And they all returned with a life-changing experience. And I wonder this morning, are you going to just love what you feel and go back to the old person you are? Or are you going to have a life-changing experience this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for your presence.